sin's prison, oh, so dark and cold, like a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open, and he spoke to me. I have signed your pardon, now you may go free. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, since the Savior led me from that awful place, I can hear the angels as they sing Amazing Grace. I know I was pardoned from my sin and shame when I joined them singing glory to his name. For Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, life is now worth living since I've been set free. I'm so glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall, for Jesus signed my pardon, Jesus paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary, yes, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I won't have to go. All my life I give to him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there at Calvary.
Can I tell you a little something that's kind of special? Brother Grogan, that wrote that song, was our pastor in Burlington for 2 or 4 years. I don't remember. But Brother Grogan was the pastor that won Brother and Sister Huffines and my Juanita and her sister Pat and the family to the church. Brother Grogan was that man that really led my wife's family and her and brought them in the church and took them in and made them a part of the East Burlington Church of God. Brother C.S. Grogan, his name. Well, his son, Buddy Grogan, became a great friend, and he was the best man at our wedding in 1955. And then I went down to somewhere down east and was the best man for his wedding a year or two later. Well, a few months ago, I went online to find that song, and it had on it, over it, author unknown. And I thought, wow. They don't even know who wrote this song. So I called Brother Buddy, his son. I said, Buddy, you got to get with Google. You can contact them and get them to put your dad's picture and name with that song, because they don't even know who wrote it. And the last time I looked, there was his picture and his name, C.S. Grogan, Reverend C.S. Grogan, the author of that song, Jesus Signed My Pardon. Isn't that beautiful? Does that make anybody happy? You know, I'm grateful. Brother Grogan was one more wonderful man. He was just a dear, godly, old-fashioned Church of God pastor and preacher man. And thank God for him. And thank God for that beautiful song. Let's sing something before I introduce Brother Joe.
Hand to the Lord now. The risen Christ. Come on, right? Let him hear your praise. Beautiful, Brother Joe. Beautiful. Death has died. I said, death has died. How do you hear me? Death has died. That's probably one of the most beautiful phrases I've ever heard. Death has died. If you knew him like we know him, like many in this building know him, you know death has died. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I want to preach this morning on running because the Christ has risen from the dead. Running because the Christ has risen from the dead. Here in prayer on Friday morning, I began to read the story in John 20, chapter 20, about the day of the resurrection. And I had never noticed how the women, when they found the empty tomb, had ran to the disciples to tell them what they found. How that Peter and John then ran to the sepulcher to see what was going on. They didn't yet know he was alive. They didn't yet know he'd been resurrected. They were just startled because the sepulcher was empty. He was not in there. And so Peter and John had run, and John outrun Peter, the Bible said. I always thought Peter was out in front of everything. But in this case, John outran Peter. But he stopped at the door, at the tomb opening, I should say. Peter didn't stop at no tomb opening. He ran right past John, went right into the sepulcher. What did he see? He saw the grave clothes. They were there, but the occupant of those grave clothes wasn't there. He was gone. I said he was gone. He was gone. And you know, it's so beautiful to see that because the grave clothes, you know, they wrapped them. They took cloth and went around and around and around and wrapped them. And there's no way to get a person out of that normally but to unwrap him. But Jesus had simply left the grave clothes nothing but deflated. They had just fallen down. They were still in a wrap. They were still just like they'd be in a body, except they had deflated and had dropped down and Jesus was gone. So the grave clothes wasn't taken from him. He was taken from the grave clothes. Is that not breathtaking? He was taken from the grave clothes. And all these disciples are running in different directions. I wish you could almost go there in a real picture story that is literal and see it. Because it was a grand event, the grandest event of God's eternal history. I'm telling you, the grandest event of God's eternal history. Now, reading in the book of Revelation, go to chapter 1 and verse 4. Chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the Spirit, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and the Father, whether it be to him, be glory and dominion. I want to preach on running because the Christ has risen from the dead. Father, I have a passion this morning This song has been such an introduction to my sermon. Beautiful indeed. Thank you for words of such just lustre and beauty and victory. Now, Father, open the words and the thoughts of your servant, and open the hearts and the ears of my listeners, and let us hear what the resurrection is all about. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to do my level best this morning to get you an understanding in your heart and mind of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did this event mean? What really happened on this particular day? What kind of victory was won? What kind of defeat was experienced? What really happened? You know, when you really think about the Son of God, the risen Lord. Now remember, we're not talking about just an ordinary man. We're talking about the Son of God, begotten of Mary, begotten of the Holy Ghost and born of Mary. A beautiful story of this great Redeemer. He's been mutilated. He's been beaten in an inch of life. His flesh has been made to hang off of him like garments, like ripped clothes. His flesh was just tattered and torn. It was a horrible event, a horrible time. But now Jesus has risen from that grave, and he's alive. He's no longer dead. They beat him. I mean, they beat him without mercy. It was a horrible whipping, a horrible event, a sorrowful moment. But now, it's all over. And the one they had tattered and torn is resurrected and alive. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful to behold. Now, I love the way in the book of Revelation, it starts this great story. It says concerning Jesus and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now listen, 4,000 years of human history. No human being had ever been brought back from the dead with eternal life. They'd been brought back from the dead to die again. Dorcas, Lazarus, some in the Old Testament. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. But in 4,000 years, nobody had ever walked through death and took the sting out of it and come back alive, never to die again. An immortal body. A body that had no pains of death any longer. A body that's now eternal. A body that now is immortal. That's how Jesus came back from the grave. He didn't come back like you or I would come back in a resurrection to die again. He came back to never die again. That's why they call him the first begotten from the dead. He is the first person that ever walked through death and jerked the sting out of it and jerked the power out of it. Walked through death and destroyed the possibility of ever dying again. He arose the first begotten of the dead. Now, when you understand that, it puts the resurrection on a totally different level. Not just a man stepping out of the grave, and he's got to go back to that grave eventually. No, here's a man that stepped out of the grave and could walk away from it, never to face it again. Would somebody say hallelujah? But somebody say praise the Lord. He was the first begotten from the dead. The first in 4,000 years. Look at the great servants of God that had served the Lord. All the way back to you know, different great men of God. Moses. You know, Joshua. The great prophets. Elijah and Elisha. The great kings. Psalmist David and Solomon. Oh, you can find many, but all of them died. And when they died, they had no power to defeat what had taken them out of here. They had no power to take the sting out of it. They had no power to destroy all the sorrow of the moment. I mean, it was a total victory over death. That's all you can say, Brother Danny. It was a total victory over death. Young people, it was a total victory over death. Death had lost its sting. Did you hear me? Death had lost its sting. Woo! Hallelujah. It's one of the most exciting things you can say is that death lost its sting. Death had died, Brother Joe. Death had died. Hallelujah. In the Son of God. Death had died, and the Son of God was alive. We go to the grave, and death takes over, and we lay there while our family weeps. He went to the grave, barring Joseph Arimathea. Did you know that Joseph Arimathea had made for him a tomb of such beauty? It was without question an expensive event. And Joseph was absolutely giving it to the Son of God. And Joseph didn't know about all the results. Maybe he was learning. I would suspect he was. I can imagine one of his friends saying, Joseph, you have labored intently. You have used your well-earned wealth to build for you a place for burial. And now you're giving it to this Nazarene who's been preaching all over the country and people hate him with a passion. What are you doing, Joseph? And he probably said, I'm just loaning it to him for 3 days. I'm just loaning it to him for 3 days. That's it if he really understood. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. Who knows? But Jesus had defeated death. And he came back the first begotten of the dead. Now that term, I want to get in your mind. Would you say it with me? First begotten of the dead. And you're going to take it home with you. I want you to take it home with you. I want you to take home with you the very thought that Jesus had defeated death in himself. And that Jesus had completely whipped it until it could never touch him again. Until it could never bother him again. He would never have to even think about it. He would never have to consider it. He had defeated death utterly and completely and marvelously. The first begotten of the dead. But it gets better. I said it gets better. When Jesus died on that cross, his body was mutilated. Torn asunder. They took it down and buried it in a tomb. They took it down and buried it in a tomb. But the moment he said, it is finished, the Son of God left that beaten body hanging there on the cross. I said, do you listen to me now? You got to hear what I'm saying. The Son of God left that mortal body hanging there on the cross. He departed it. And he didn't go up. He went down. He descended into the heart of the earth. Now, you got to hear this. Most people don't even understand it. Most people, I don't know preachers that preach it. Almost nobody. But I'm telling you, he descended into the heart of the earth. He went right down where for 4,000 years, every believer had gone at death but two. Every believer had been sent from their place of death in their spirit person, their soul person. They had been sent into this place called Abraham's bosom. Paradise. It was upper paradise, not lower hell, but upper hell. Below this place was hell fire. Below this place, the week it went. But there was a great gulf between this lower hell and upper hell. And everybody for 4,000 years had died. Believers now I speak of had died and gone to upper hell. And they were there waiting. They were there, I would imagine, singing. They were there testifying to one another. They were there shouting about the day when the Messiah would come. They were there believing and trusting in the great prophets of the Bible. That Jesus would come one day. And they knew when he came, everything was going to change. Now remember, there was two who didn't go there. Elijah and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch were so godly and so holy that God let them come to heaven and bypass Abraham's bosom. Got that? God let Enoch and Elijah bypass Abraham's bosom, up a Sheol, up a hell, whatever you want to call it, different names in the Bible, and they went to heaven. But every other person for 4,000 years had gone into that place called up a hell, or Abraham's bosom. Remember the story of Jesus and the rich man and Lazarus? One went to heaven and one went to hell. And the one that went to hell, well, really, one didn't go to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom. I'm about to get it all wrong here. The rich man went to Abraham's bosom, down there in upper hell. Lazarus went, the beggar, he went into upper hell. But the rich man that had killed him and that had not fed him, he went into hell. And he looks across the gulf and he sees Abraham. He sees Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom. And he cries out to the Lord to send him, Lazarus, with just a little bit of water on the end of his finger to touch his tongue. Because he said, I'm tormented in those flames. Well, we understand then there was a place called Abraham's bosom where all the righteous was. There was a place in hell called all the wicked was. Well, when Jesus died, now listen to me. Remember what he said to the thief on the cross? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now something you got to understand. From the time of Adam and Eve until Jesus is hanging on the cross, every godly man or woman that ever died had gone to upper Sheol, had gone to Abraham's bosom. Every one of them. 4,000 years. Can you imagine the multitude that was in Abraham's bosom? But Jesus died on the cross. And he had some business he had to finish. So he descended to Abraham's bosom. And right then in Abraham's bosom, he walked among the righteous of 4,000 years. They'd been waiting for them. I can almost hear one of them yell to the crowd, listen, I hear the Messiah coming. We've been talking about the Messiah coming. I hear somebody rattling the keys out at the gate. I hear somebody that's trying to come in or is coming in. And as they realized that it was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus had died on the cross. They had no way of knowing down there in upper Sheol, Abraham's bosom, until he got there. They didn't know until he got there. They didn't know till he got there. Did you hear me? They didn't know till he arrived. But I can imagine the shout that went up from that place when they saw it was the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. When they saw the Lord had finally come. He'd been at Calvary. He had been beaten and whipped. But now he's resurrected. He left his body up there. But in his spirit and soul, he came down to Abraham's bosom to set us free. 3 days he preaches among this crowd. What do you think he preached? I think he preached about the blood. The blood. I just shed the blood for you up there. I see that man on the cross was on the cross. Hey over there. I just saw you hanging on the cross on my right side, and I told you I'd see you today in paradise. And he meets him right there. But it isn't long. 3 days. 3 nights. Jesus wasn't resurrected on Sunday morning. And he didn't die on Friday either. If you think that story that you hear all over the news is right, it ain't right. I'm telling you, he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Just exactly like he said he was going to be. And we take the Bible as literal, don't we? Well, 3 days and 3 nights is over. That's when the resurrection takes place. Hallelujah. Did you know that at the moment of the resurrection and the veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom, that a bunch of graves all over Jerusalem opened and burst asunder, and the dead came out of them and testified on the streets of Jerusalem? Hallelujah. Well, what I want to tell you is that Jesus didn't just defeat death in him. He defeated death forever. He defeated death forever. He defeated the effect of death upon the 4,000. The 4,000. Now you see, it's very evident. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But Paul, the great apostle, knew the other part of the story. And he said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For 4,000 years, every righteous person that died went to Abraham's bosom. But suddenly, when Jesus came out of Abraham's bosom, leading the victor, the great saints of God in victory, hallelujah, he changed the whole situation forever. And now death has no power over a saint of God. Death can't kill you. It may put the body in the grave, but it doesn't do anything to the soul and the spirit. Hallelujah. But we go straight to the presence of the King. That's because of the resurrection. Woo! Does anybody feel excited to know that you can't die if you're a saint? Are you born again? Raise your hand. If you're truly born again, you cannot die. I mean, listening to me. You cannot. Sister Chambers is not dead. She's over there shouting, having a great time with the Lord. She didn't die for a moment. I mean, remember at the grave, we transferred her. We transferred her name from Paul Creek to heaven. Because she had moved from us up there. Hallelujah. See, that's what the resurrection has done. Not only did the resurrection defeat death in Christ, it defeated death in every saint of God. Woo! Every saint of God is now in victory because Jesus has risen from the grave. Now, there's another great truth. I'm trying to get you the truths that affect me. The next one is, the Bible says in the book of Romans, it says that the death of Jesus, the resurrection, was justification for the believer. We are justified by the resurrection. You're not justified because he died for you. You're justified because after he died for you, he arose from the grave. Now, you got to let me explain this. And I'm dealing in territory. I've never preached all of this like this before. But I want you to hear me. The book of Romans, chapter 4, it says we're justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? Go back and look at it for 4,000 years. How every time a righteous man died because his sins were still on the book. Still on the book. See, the animal blood can't wash away sins. Animal blood only covered sins. Do you understand? Animal blood only gave you victory to live above what has captured and controls your life. But the blood of Jesus and the resurrection of Christ did more than that. It lifts you above and justifies you so you don't have to pass through Abraham's bosom to get to heaven. You can go straight from here there. Hallelujah. That's because justification prepares you. It clears your record. It leaves your record pure and without spot. And you can walk straight from here right over there when death comes. Hallelujah. Anybody understand that? You give your life to Christ. If you're not saved, you die. You'll be in hell before they can bury your body. You understand? You'll be in hell before they can bury your body. You'll be in hell before the undertaker can arrive wherever you died. It's just that immediate. But when you're washed in the blood, when you've been saved by the blood, when you've been justified by the blood, listen to me, when you've been justified by the blood, I like that word justified. That means a clear record. See, he forgives your sins. The blood did that. But he washes your record clear. The resurrection did that. Hallelujah. So the crucifixion and the resurrection together gives you forgiveness of sin and then justification from sin. Anybody understand that? If you do, raise a hand and just say hallelujah or something, praise and honor. Justification. Justified. So the moment of death, nothing on your record. It's just a quick sweep right into the presence of the Christ. Woo! Oh, I'm so glad he's been resurrected. Here I am, 83 years old. Are you scared of the grave? Not at all. I'm not going to no grave. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to let them take my body to the grave. You know, my kids wanted me to put my name over there beside Mama's in the graveyard. I said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't putting my name in that graveyard. I'm not going by that graveyard. I'm going straight to that presence of the great God. Woo, somebody help me praise him. Help me shout hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. If you're not justified, you're in trouble. But when you get justified, forgiven, and justified, they go together. They can happen simultaneously. I'm not separating them in reality, just in understanding. Forgiven and justified. Saints, listen to me. We are one blessed people. Now, I want you to turn. I meant to go to all these scriptures, but time will flee from me. Go to Romans chapter 8. Would you do that with me? Go to Romans chapter 8. I want to look at something that's really, really breathtaking. Romans 8. Verse 11, Romans 8, verse 11. Let's let the Bible speak to us. And it's wonderful truth. Listen, but if, this is verse 11, Romans 8, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the spirit, the Holy Spirit, that lifted Jesus out of that grave, out of that tomb, made him alive. When he walked out that tomb, it was the great power of the Holy Spirit that reached in there and resurrected him. The Bible says that. The Bible says that clearly. But if you live in that power of the Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead, then that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Brother Chambers, why do you jump around and shout so much? I was enjoying preaching on that street last night. I really felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I had a hard time just being still, just jumping a little bit and praising God. Why, Brother Chambers? Because I've been justified by the blood, and then I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost in me has quickened this old mortal body. Hallelujah. This old mortal body is not just a physical body. It's a Holy Ghost temple. It's a Holy Ghost dwelling place. It's a Holy Ghost place of power and beauty and majesty. It's a Holy Ghost place to do his work and his ministry and his power and his glory. And so that Spirit has quickened this mortal body. Woo! Somebody that feels it like I do, stand up and praise him a little bit, would you? Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 He's alive. He's alive. And because he's alive and I have him in me, I'm alive. Woo! Hallelujah. So, when I don't know we're justified, but our mortal body is quickened. Justification is in the spirit, soul. But the quickening of the Holy Ghost is in the body. So he doesn't just do something for your spirit. A lot of Christians, all it is something they say on the inside. It never shows up on the outside. When your faith never shows up on the outside, you don't have anything. Because this faith will show up all over you. It'll make you a new person from head to toe. It'll stir you to the core of your being. It'll give you life. See, Jesus said, right after he was resurrected, remember these words, because I live, ye shall live also. Everybody in here say that. Because I live, you shall live also. Now say it this way, because he lives, I'm going to live also. Raise your hand and say that. Because he lives, I'm going to live also. Now let's say it a little different. Because he lives, I'm already living. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Because he's alive, I'm already alive. Because he's alive, I'm a bouncing ball. Because he's alive, I'm risen in him and with him and by him. And there's life running up and down the avenues of this physical being. Hallelujah. Yes, I've got the Holy Ghost inside, but he shows up on the outside. Hallelujah. 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 So the resurrection made Jesus the first begotten from the dead. Had never happened before. The resurrection reached right into the bowels of the earth and brought out of it 4,000 years of saintly people who had died and had to go to Abraham's bosom to wait for him to come. See, they couldn't be justified till he was crucified and resurrected. So they had to go and wait. Had to go and wait. You read what David said. He said, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be down there waiting, but I'll be all right. Hallelujah. Didn't use those words, but just country words. Hallelujah. So now we go straight to heaven. If you die today and you're washed in the blood, you won't have to pass through, you know, purgatory and somebody pay a big fee to get you out of purgatory. You ever heard about purgatory? Hey, that's just a big lie of Lucifer. It brings a lot of money into the coffers of the Catholic Church, but it doesn't have one thing to do with the Bible. I'm here to tell you, when you die, your opportunity is over, friend. When you die, it's either now or never. It's either then, it's either then, and it's there. And you're either going one way or the other. May God help us to understand the resurrection is the grandest event of church history. There is nothing in the Bible that matches and goes beyond. If Jesus would have died on a cross and not resurrected, he would be nothing but a memory. He would be nothing but a memory. But because he walked out of that tomb on the third day with triumphant victory, he is not a memory. He is a reality. Do you hear me? He has defeated death. He's defeated the devil. He's defeated everything ugly and terrible for human life. And now, hallelujah, we have life and we have victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, woo! Hallelujah. So remember, first begotten from the dead, defeated all of hell. Oh, I just can't imagine what that crowd in Abraham's bosom felt like when they heard the keys rattling the front door. Nobody ever rattled those front doors. Only the devil had those keys. But now the keys are rattling the front door and somebody's coming in that's more than a passerby victor. Visitor. Oh, the King of Kings is walking. Oh, I can imagine when he walked in from the cross, right straight from the cross, right down through the bowels of upper Sheol and set the captive free. That's what the Bible said. Said he set the captive free. He set the captive free. But then remember, you're justified by his resurrection. Not only am I saved, but my record is clean. I said something on the street last night that I love. One thing that God don't know. Let me ask you, all of you, listen to me. How many of you know something that God don't know? I remember what my sins were. My sins was terrible. I should have went to hell. Understanding legality, the laws, understanding what sin means, I should have went to hell. But Jesus forgave me. But he didn't forgive me and remember what I'd done. I remember, but he doesn't remember. See, God cannot remember the sins that the blood has washed away. Did you hear what I said? God cannot remember the sins that the blood has washed away. The moment the blood washes away your sins, God forgets them. I'll never forget a little story I heard one time of this little fella in a church that was a prayer warrior. He was just a young lad, but he'd walked with God and talked with God. And he had the gift of discernment. He could look at people at times and say, you need to repent. I told somebody this morning, I've been praying for God to take away the gift of discernment from me, because it hurts me so hard as I look around and I see so many people and I can look in their face and see something's missing, something's wrong. They act like they're religious. They act like they're saved, but their face shows something very different. That's the discernment this little fella had. And so somebody went to him and said, son, I've been worried about all my sins. They were so terrible. They were so dark. They were just horrible. Would you ask God what was the worst sin that I ever did that he forgave me of? Little fellow said, well, I'll talk to God for you. I'll ask God for you. So the little fellow began to pray. A few days later, the old man went to the little fellow and said, what did God tell you? He said, God told me to tell you he don't remember. Did you hear that? I don't believe you did. God said, I don't remember. Did you know he don't remember what your sins are that's been forgiven? Brother Otto Rodriguez, God don't remember a thing about those young days before you got right with God. You may have been an angel kind of a boy, you know, in the church. Or you may have been a rascal. I have the feeling you were probably a rascal, kind of like I was. Is that pretty good, Otto? Is that close? How about Sister Otto, Sister Rodriguez? I'm just kidding with him. But every one of them are forgotten. Do you know? Sometimes I can remember some of the things I did, and they hurt me so bad. Even today, sometimes I get to praying and thanking God my sins are gone, and I'll spend a little time just remembering what he washed me from and what he forgave me of, and I'll hurt as I think about them. But then I realize they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and they will never be remembered against me again. Hallelujah. I may remember them, and you may remember them, but God never remembers a sin that the blood washes away. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Not a sin that you've ever done that God remembers once the blood has washed them away. Hallelujah. Will you bow your heads? Father, there's somebody here this morning that you have been dealing with them, and you've been dealing with them, and they keep rejecting you. They keep being too busy with the world. They keep being too tied up with earthly pleasures and earthly games and earthly doings. And they've never turned to Christ. But this morning, they know that it's time for them to change. They know it. They're feeling it right now. You can't listen to this sermon and not know it's time to get rid of your sins. And you can't get rid of them. But the blood of Jesus can. The blood of Jesus can wash you. I mean, wash you as clean as the riven snow. But he's got to do it. And he cannot do it until you say, I surrender to you, Lord. I give you my life. I've rejected you. I've been too busy for you. I've been too busy with other things. But this morning, I'm willing to face my life. And I want my sins forgiven. Anybody in here? And wants your sins forgiven? Heads are bowed. Nobody's looking but Brother Chambers. You want your sins forgiven. If you do, raise your hand. You say, I'm a Christian. I just still do a lot of sinning. No, you're not a Christian if you're doing a lot of sinning. Because he will cleanse you from sin, not in sin. He doesn't wash away just the sins you've done. He breaks the power of sin to continue. How many in the building say, Brother Chambers, I want Christ. I really want to be saved. I really want to be saved. You know, I, if you knew how big my list is of prayer, I come in here in the mornings 2 to 3 hours every day, and I never can get all the people prayed for. I remember the other day I was praying, and all of a sudden some families began to roll across my mind that I hadn't thought about in so long. I began to pray. I began to pray for some of them. I began to pray for some children of some of our people right now who are members of this church. In fact, I've looked around and seen at least one of those that I've really been praying for and crying out to God. I don't want nobody to go to hell. Anybody here want somebody to go to hell? Let me see your hand. You hate somebody so bad you want them to go to hell? No, you don't, little fella. You just responded. Anybody? You don't hate nobody that bad. But you need to be saved this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. Sister Yvette, would you sing without any music a simple invitation? A simple invitation. Come quickly. I want everybody to stand with me, please. Now, I want you to bow your head. And I'm going to take a moment. I'll preach with all my heart. Now, I don't want this sermon to be wasted on nobody. I want everybody here to have an opportunity. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Chambers, would you pray for me? I do need to get saved. But I'm not quite ready right yet. Would you raise your hand and let me pray? In the name of Jesus, anybody? Anybody? Anybody concerned about your future? If you're concerned about your future, let me see your hand. How about everybody in the building that's concerned about where you're going to spend eternity? Let me see your hand. Are you concerned? Raise it up. Believer and non-believer alike. Would you raise your hand? I'm concerned. I don't want to go to the wrong place. Somebody needs to get saved this morning. Somebody really needs to give their heart to Christ. Sing, Yvette. And I want every saint of God to raise their right hand and pray. Every saint of God, pray.
Surrender all
to Jesus,
all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, you know that Jesus will hear your every plea. He will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise.